أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The topic about which we were talking was the advantages of morality. In our previous discussion, I talked about some of the advantages of morality. I pointed out that if morality is fully observed, it will sharpen your vision. Once your vision is sharpened, you will be able to distinguish between truth and falsehood, between right and wrong. You will not be deviated from the right path, and you will always be attached to the truth. Contrary to this, if you are not a person who observes moral values, then of course you will always be confused. You will not be able to tell what is right and what is wrong. You will not be able to distinguish, as it is said, between cheese and chalk. So that is very much important for every one of us. We are in need of such kind of characteristics. And we cannot develop such characteristics without adhering to moral principles. Another advantage of morality which I touched before was that it perfects your faith. If morality is fully observed, it will perfect your faith. The perfection of faith is an important issue. The article of faith is not something that one can ignore. If you have a strong faith in God, as I said before, and if you have a strong faith in the hereafter, this faith will play the role of a police that will protect you from doing evil deeds, that will prevent you from doing bad things. As I mentioned before, the physical police is not able to control a person at all times and at all places. But a strong faith in God, a strong faith in the hereafter, is able to control a person fully in every time and everywhere. Because the faith is present with you wherever you go and whenever you are. So that is another advantage of morality. Today I want to introduce another advantage of morality. This is also a very important advantage of morality. If a person respects moral values, he has done a great task. Why? This is because according to Islamic traditions, according to Islamic documents, good manner is the best thing one can do. There is no action better than good manner. Then everyone must try to do good actions and to observe moral values. There is a tradition that says إن الصبر والحلم وحسن الخلق من أخلاق الأنبياء. Sabr means patience. حسن الخلق means good manner. If you have patience, and if you are lenient, and if you observe moral values and are as a result good mannered, it is as if you have followed the morality of the prophets of God. You have subscribed to observing the morality of those who are sent by God to guide mankind. So this is a very important thing. If you observe the morals of the prophets of God, this is not something that is very much unimportant. وَمَا يُوزَعُ فِي مِيزَانِ شَيْءٌ أَفْزَلْ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلْقِ. On the day of judgment, when things are calculated, when things are weighed, nothing is better than a good manner. A good manner is above everything else. Maybe you have done different things. You have done different good actions, different good deeds. But your good manner stands above all these deeds. And nothing can equalize it, and nothing is equal to it. So that is why we are of the view that good manner is the best thing one can do and the best thing one can observe. In once, an infallible was asked, Ayul A'mal Afzal, which deed is the best deed? وقال السخاء وحسن الخلق. The Holy Infallible said in response that two things are very much important. One is generosity. Be always generous. Give what you can. Generosity does not mean that you should give your whole belongings. You should distribute for the sake of God whatever you possess. Generosity is a mentality which you must develop. If you have the mentality of generosity, then you are not very much dependent on your belongings. You are dependent on God. If necessity arises, you can distribute some of your belongings, the money you have, and the properties you owe. But if there is no necessity, of course, you can keep your property. So this is the meaning of generosity. So be generous. And also be good-mannered. This is the second advice. Be good-mannered. This is the best action according to this tradition. فَأَلْزِمُوهُمَا تَفُوزُ. And if you adhere to these two principles, you will be able to succeed. You will be successful in your life. If you observe moral values on the one hand, and if you are generous on the other, and simply because of observing these two principles, you will be able to succeed in your life. So that is very much important. To mention a point here that is important, we should say that adhering to moral principle is not very much costly. Compared to other things, it is very much cheap. If you are asked, for example, to spend in the way of God, it might be costly. If you are asked to travel to some places, it might be costly. If you are asked to fight for the sake of God, it may be costly because it might lead But if you are asked to observe moral values, and if you practically observe moral values, it will not be very much costly for you. You can easily observe moral values. And if you observe moral values, you can, as I mentioned before, you will be able to make friends. You will be able to gain popularity. So with such an easy thing, you are able to get a lot of important things. So why shouldn't we do these good things? Here a question may arise in your minds, dear viewers. What is the meaning of good manner? How can we become well-mannered? How can we be described as a person who observes moral values? The meaning of good manner is very clear from the Islamic point of view. Be the friends of those who are the friends of God, and be the enemies of those who are the enemies of God. This is very much simple and easy to grasp. If you love those who are loving God, and if you befriend those who are the friends of God, then you are a good person. On the other hand, if you dislike those who are the enemies of God, if you hate those who hate God, if you despise those who despise God, then also you are a good person. By following these two simple standards, you will be able to be a person who observes moral values. This is what Islam tells us to do. But of course, there are other religions, there are other schools of thoughts who are of other views. For example, Christian in Indian philosophy tells you to be a good person and to be friendly with everyone you come across. Always be affectionate. Always be friendly. This is the advice put forth by the philosophies of Christianity and Indians. But Islam is not in favor of such kind of mentality. Islam does not agree with such kind of principle. Christianity tells you, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, offer the left cheek. And be always friendly with people. Islam does not tell this. Islam tells you to be friendly when there is an atmosphere for a friendship. And Islam tells you to be unfriendly with those who are unfriendly. So the standard given by Islam is different from the standard issued by Christianity and by the Indian philosophy. If you give a look at the life of our prophet, of our beloved prophet, you will find out that our prophet is the example of mercy. He is the example of love. He is the example of affection. But despite all this, he is harsh in certain cases. He takes his sword and fights when the circumstances tell him to do so. So the Holy Prophet is the Prophet of mercy when there is a time for mercy. And the Holy Prophet is not a Prophet of mercy when there is no situation and when there is no occasion for mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The Holy Quran says that the Holy Prophet is a mercy for the whole universe, not only for human beings, not only for the animal kingdom, but for the whole universe, from the mountains to the rivers, to the trees, to the forests, to human beings, to animals, etc. Our Prophet is the Prophet of mercy. But mercy is not what Dale Carnegie suggests. He says that you should be friendly with everyone you come across. Be friendly even with your enemies. Pretend that you are his friend. Pretend that you are not his enemy. Pretend that you are a well-wisher. Actually, his morality is the morality of pretending. But Islam is not in favor of pretending. Islam says that it adhere to the truth. And if you adhere to the truth, then do what is good and refrain from what is bad. It is in both in regard with yourself as well as in regard with others. If something is good for you, then do it. If something is bad for you, then do not go towards it. Similarly, if something is good for your friend, then do it for him and tell him to do it. And if something is bad for your friend, then try to stop doing it and try to tell your friend not to do it. So this, the main criterion is the criterion of truth. Then adhere to this principle and adhere to the principle of truth. And if you adhere to the principle of truth, then of course you will not be a person who is always pretending. Pretending does not respond here. You cannot say that in the heart of your heart you dislike somebody, but apparently you say that you like him. This is not a morality that Islam advises. Islam says that it adhere to the truth. And based on the truth, be friends of those who are the friends of God and be the enemies of those who are the enemies of God. If you adhere to the principle of truth, of course, you will have your morality will have two aspects. On the one hand, you will attract some people. You will earn friends. You will earn supporters. On the other hand, you will also gain enemies. You will also gain foes. This is something which you cannot avoid. Look at the example of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. He is at the climax of moral values. He is a person who fully observes moral values and moral standards. But you see, Imam Ali has got both his friends as well as his foes. He has friends who cannot be compared with any other friends. And he has enemies who are also incomparable to any other people. Yes, Imam Ali is the example of moral values. He is at the peak of every kind of moral values. Look at him. How does he deal with the person who kills him? When he is asked to punish Ibn Muljam because Ibn Muljam wants to kill him, What does Imam Ali say? He says, if Ibn Muljam is the person who is going to kill me, then I'm not able to kill the person who is going to kill me. And this is Imam Ali who says that Ibn Muljam wants to kill me, but I want to protect his life. This is the difference between me and Ibn Muljam. I want his life. I want his prosperity. I want his salvation. But Ibn Muljam wants my death. He wants to see me murdered. He wants to see me killed. This is the example of Imam Ali. And this Imam Ali has his own friends and foes. Maysam Khammar is one of the advocates and friends, a devoted friend of Imam Ali. He was loving Imam Ali throughout his life. And he continued to love Imam Ali even after Imam Ali was martyred and was killed by Ibn Muljam. He continued to love the holy Imam for 20 years after the death of Imam Ali. And even when he was put to death himself, when he was executed, he was executed because he loved Imam Ali. Look, this is the meaning of friendship. Maysam continued to be the friend of Imam Ali when Imam Ali was alive. And he continued to be his friend when he was no longer alive. Another example that can be produced in this regard is the example of Ibn Sikkid. He was a teacher, a well-informed teacher. Mutawakkil had implored him to teach his two sons. And he used to teach them regularly. He used to teach them mathematics, physics, chemistry, and whatever that was available at that time. And once Mutawakkil asked him, O Ibn Sikkid, which one do you like? My sons are Hassan and Hussein, the sons and the children of Imam Ali. Ibn Sikkid, who was one of the followers of Imam Ali, became very much angry. He did not know what to do. He said, O Mutawakkil, you have become very much proud. In your pride is very much excessive. You have reached the stage. You compare your sons with the sons and the children of Imam Ali. Don't speak about the children of Imam Ali. Your sons cannot be compared with Qanbar, the slave of Imam Ali. Qanbar was the slave of Imam Ali. And you cannot compare your sons with Qanbar. And you cannot compare even yourself with Qanbar. When Mutawakkil heard this from Ibn Sikkid, he became very much angry. He ordered his executor to punish him and to kill him. Look, these are the examples history provides us. These are the examples of the followers of Imam Ali. And on the contrary, you will find people who are the arch enemies of Imam Ali. Look at Muawiyah. Muawiyah is the enemy of the holy Imam. And look at the other Amawid caliphs. They were all the enemies of Imam Ali. But the interesting thing about those who are the enemies of Imam Ali is that they were not the enemies of Imam Ali alone. They were the enemies of truth. They were the enemies of honesty. They were the enemies of whatever that was good. So the enemies of Imam Ali were the enemies of truth. And the friends of Imam Ali was the friends of truth and the enemies of falsehood. Thank you very much.